Good morning, church. I want to invite you this morning to a new study that we are starting on Sunday mornings. I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And instead of just giving you an overview of the Holy Spirit, I sort of have this idea that the Lord has been speaking to me about with great clarity on, you know, what our church needs with regard to the Holy Spirit and what type of instruction. And I think the Holy Spirit is a subject that is so pertinent for today, and even in the life of our church and the people in our church. I just sense that there is this idea that the Holy Spirit is something that we kind of just bounce around and bump into every once in a while. And I think it's sort of connected with our church involvement or connected with corporate worship. But what we really lack is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the here and now, the presence of the Holy Spirit in everyday activities and everything that we do, in every decision that we make, in every relationship that we struggle with, whether we're at work or at home trying to have wisdom in terms of how to do something. I think the Holy Spirit is desiring and wanting us to understand that he wants to be a part of it, all of those things. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift from the Lord, as an endowment, as a helper, the expectation was that we utilize that power of the Holy Spirit. And I fear that even sometimes in my life that we don't do that to the fullest extent. And so I want to take a few weeks and really talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how practical the Holy Spirit is in your life. But in order to do that, I think it's most important that we lay the foundation, because if you don't understand the deity of the Holy Spirit and you don't understand to be sort of the beginnings of the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to apply the concept of the Holy Spirit to your life until you have an understanding of that. So the Holy Spirit is a divine being, and his attributes reveal his divine nature. He is omniscient. He knows all things, according to 1 Corinthians 2:10. He is omnipresent everywhere, according to Psalm 139, 7 through 10. And he is called the Eternal Spirit in Hebrews 9:14. His works reveal his divine nature. We know that he was involved in the creation of the world in Genesis chapter 1. We know that he was involved in the working of miracles, Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. We know that he was involved in the redemption of man, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And he was involved in the regeneration of man in John chapter 3, verse 5, and Titus 3, 4. All these things are great. They're awesome when we think about the Holy Spirit as a deity. But remember, there's two important factors that moving forward that we need to really understand with regard to the Holy Spirit. And the number one is that Jesus was formed in the womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing thing when you consider that. And when you consider the doctrine on the Holy Spirit and how there's people that believe that it was first God, then God created Jesus, and then Jesus created the Holy Spirit. Well, if the Holy Spirit formed Jesus in the womb, then the Holy Spirit existed from the beginning, as did Jesus. And the second thing is that the Holy Spirit is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that redemption that we see, and that redemptive power and that creative power, both in creating Jesus and in lifting him up from the dead, is available to us today. We can talk about the Holy Spirit as a divine being, and I can make this study about all of those facts. But the reality is, the practical information, the Holy Spirit was powerful enough to form Jesus in the womb and raise him from the dead. He's powerful enough to do anything and everything that you need him to do in your life. So all of this supports the thinking of the Holy Spirit as a deity. The fact that Peter spoke of the Holy Spirit and God interchangeably. Now, this makes sense if the Holy Spirit is indeed God, but the Holy Spirit is a person and a divine being. So this morning, our text is in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 21. This is where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Let's begin reading. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Father, we pray for wisdom this morning, Lord, as we open your word and as we begin to study about the power of the Holy Spirit, that you might speak to us in the areas of our life, God, that are dying, in the areas of our life that need a touch from you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit and the reality of the Holy Spirit would come alive with every word that is spoken this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So going deeper, does this mean that the Bible teaches this polytheistic view, or more than one God, or more than one God as a concept? And there are, you know, are there three gods or only one God? And what relationship does the Holy Spirit maintain with the Father and with Jesus Christ? These questions have been asked by the minds of theologians, you know, forever. And I don't pretend to issue one simple statement that fixes everything in your mind. I would like the opportunity to sort of roll out some concepts and have you sort of pick yourself. I'll give you where I land on the subject. But the first one is this tritheism, and I'm going to develop this morning quickly four different concepts of God and how the Trinity is viewed upon. And like I said before, the first one is tritheism, and this view holds that there are three gods. That is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there are three separate and distinct gods. And this is truly polytheism, a belief that there is more than one God. And the Mormons hold on to this belief to a slight variation of this view. And they do not limit it just to three gods, but believe that there are more than three gods. And that, for me, is problematic. I simply don't ascribe to that view. The second one is Arianism. And Arius was this man who lived in the 4th century AD, and he taught this view that God the Father existed from eternity, and that Jesus, God's Son, was created in time by the Father. In other words, Jesus was not found in Genesis chapter 1. And not only was Jesus a created being, but Jesus created the Holy Spirit. And so I don't ascribe to this view either. Members of the Watchtower Society or Jehovah's Witnesses, they ascribe to this view that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were created beings by God. Jesus is, the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus being created beings limits their power in the life of the believer. And so the third one is Sabellianism, and this is named after Sabellius, who lived in the 3rd century. And this view holds that God is one person who has manifest himself in three different ways and three different modes, not simultaneously, but successively. For example, at the moment, God presents himself as creator or father. At another moment, he is the redeemer or son. And then again, another moment, he is the revealer or the Holy Spirit. This view is held by many modern theologians today, and who emphasize the baptism in the name of Jesus only. And this United Pentecostal Church holds this view. The fourth one is Trinitarianism. And this is the doctrine the doctrine of the Trinity, really. The word Trinity comes from the Latin word Trinitas, which means threefold. This meaning of a triad or a group of three suggests both unity and diversity. This view holds that God is one God, but that three in that one God exist eternally in three different persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this view, there is both unity and diversity, and the doctrine of the Trinity can be stated in three different positions here. First, God is one God. We know that. Second, that the Son is fully God and distinct from God the Father and God the Spirit. And there is nothing in the concept of God or the deity, no quality, no attribute, which the Son does not possess. Yet he is the same person as the Father and the Son. And third, the Spirit is fully God and distinct from the Father and the Son and is personal. And this is kind of really where I want to drill down, because the Spirit is not a created being or an energy from God, but is a deity. And that deity lives within you. That power lives within you. That's an amazing thing. He is different in his person and mission from the Father and the Son. And this is a view held by most Catholics and Protestants today, and it's a view that I hold. Getting back to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is a deity in you. The Holy Spirit is really the part of the Trinity, the part of God that gets in the mud with you. This world, you know, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And I know that we struggle in this world and we strive in this world. And the Holy Spirit is the part of God who strives with us. The Holy Spirit is the one that's giving us the wisdom and is convicting the world. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and that he was, you know, the first explanation of what the Holy Spirit would do, right, was to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. To convict the world of sin because he would define what sin was. Righteousness, he would convict the world that righteousness can only come from God. And judgment, because Satan was judged, and there is a judgment coming for man. I think the Holy Spirit does a great job at doing those things, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the next lesson. This morning, I want to really focus on the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and how, because the Holy Spirit has this mission to be with you. Those words that we read, I want to go back and read them again in light of what we just learned. But John says, if you, in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a helper, to help you and to be with you forever. It's a great promise. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Man, verse 17 is a powerful statement. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him. The world does not. The world's afraid of the Holy Spirit. And there's part of the church that's afraid of the Holy Spirit. We want so much to control the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, that part of God is a consuming fire. And the Holy Spirit is the wind. We don't know where it comes from, and we don't know where it's going. We feel it. And yet, you look at how much damage the Holy Spirit or misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit is being caused in the church. The Holy Spirit has a mission. Its first mission is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then we see the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon believers for power, for powerful witness. We see that in Peter when he's transformed by this power, and tongues of fire come upon them, and Peter goes out and preaches. And we see Peter going from this denying the very existence of Jesus to being under the power of the Holy Spirit and preaching words that were cutting people to the heart and seeing them convicted and seeing them saved. 3,000 people got saved that day. What an amazing thing. That right there shows you what happens when you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That should show you and should show me what God expects out of us when he gives us such a great gift, that he wants us to utilize that gift. He wants us to walk in that gift. He wants us to feel all the attributes that the power of the Holy Spirit can give us, not only in feeling form, but in the reality. And that's why understanding and studying the Holy Spirit is so important, because it'll build your faith with regard to how you view the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a great promise. He says, I will be in you. And then he talks about going back to the prophecy that and the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Gospel of John, that Father, I want to be in you and I want you to be in me, but more importantly, I want those that are my sheep, those that are my beloved, I want them to be in me and the same way that you are in me and I am in you. And so really the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does is he brings us into this relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and make sure that we are connected with that, that we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is at the right hand of the Father making intercession. We have the Holy Spirit, the power, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit living in us. The fruits of the Spirit should be seen by the world, and the gifts of the Spirit are given to us so that we could walk with power, right? Those things are for today. This did not stop with the apostolic ministry when the last apostle died. This Holy Spirit was given, and it's given not just for that time, but for us today. Whether we're walking in it or not is our problem. That is our decision. And I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, this walking with the Holy Spirit, again, getting back to what I said at the beginning, it's everyday decisions. I can't tell you how many times I rely on the Holy Spirit when I'm at on my job working and something comes across my desk that I don't understand. I pray right there, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Holy Spirit, teach me about my wife. Teach me about my relationships with my children. Teach me about what am I not seeing here. Convict me, show me. And the Holy Spirit has the ability to do all that. Guys, the Holy Spirit is not somebody that you bump into once a week at church because you know, have goosebumps. That is not what the Holy Spirit intended to be in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to be part of every breath, every minute, every second of your being. He wants to saturate your life completely. Remember, we can grieve the Holy Spirit by our behavior. We can also please the Holy Spirit. The first verse in this text this morning was, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this commandment that we are to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is from the Lord, and we need to be obedient to that. It's not doing what we want to do, it's doing what the Spirit would have us do. So this morning, I just want to apply this in a couple of points here. Number one, this is the reality. If you're in me, Jesus says, then I am in you because I have put the Spirit in you. The Spirit is the glue. The Spirit is the thing that keeps everything together. And because Jesus is in us, he also knows that having the Holy Spirit in us, around us, and upon us is extremely important. That epi experience, upon, epi, it's a Greek word. The Holy Spirit coming upon us with power, not just for a dispensation of time, but for all time. He says, I am with you forever. I will be this advocate I will give you. He will be with you forever. And those people that think that the Holy Spirit was for a time and now we're living in a different time, that's just simply not true. Number two, the world will never understand this concept. The world's never going to get the power of the Holy Spirit, even though the power of the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, convicts the world of righteousness, convicts the world of judgment. Don't feel like you need to be understood by the world. You are a spirit being. This is foolishness to those that are perishing. You are a spirit being. You are born again into the Spirit, and this is how God chooses to walk with you and be in you. Number three, our walk with Jesus is sustained by the Spirit of God in us. That's how we walk. That's how we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's how we do all of these things, because the Spirit is moving and working within us. This morning, church, if you are hearing this, there are two people listening to this. There are those that are part of the church and you know, you're listening online, you've checked in, and this may have convicted you because the power of the Holy Spirit's not present in your life the way that has been explained in the last 20 minutes. And the second person is a person who's just, you happened upon this website, you clicked upon this teaching, and none of this is present in your life. And there's hope for both of those people this morning. Those that need the power of the Holy Spirit awakened in their life, that can happen with just asking God. But more importantly, those that don't know Jesus at all you need to do is ask. And when you ask and you receive, when you ask and believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for you and was raised from the dead. And if you believe that, if you confess that with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. And when you are saved, this power that I've spoken about this morning will come upon you, will be in you, will be around you. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit will be in you, and you will be in them. What an amazing thing. Let me pray this morning. Father, I pray for those who need your Spirit, to be quickened by your Spirit, Lord, to be reminded of your power, that you would do that today. And for those who trust you for salvation, God, may you come into their life and radically save them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you receive Jesus today for the first time, there's a phone number on this website. All you need to do is call and let us know. We'd like to pray with you. We'd like to help you in your walk. And I just really am thankful for the time that you spent listening today. May God richly bless you.